Welcome to the deep dive.
Oh.
Today, we're jumping into something that's just everywhere, totally fundamental, but maybe we take it for granted. Machines. Yeah, our mission here is to really unpack how these inventions, you know, from the really basic stuff to super complex gadgets, just make our lives work. Just try imagining for a second a world with no machines. What would your morning even look like? How would you manage simple things? It's kind of tough to picture, right?
Our sources definitely remind us without machines, loads of tasks would be incredibly slow, really difficult.
Oh, absolutely. Or just impossible. We're going to explore, you know, the basic ideas behind machines, why they're so important, and get into the two main types. By the end of this, you'll have a much clearer picture, not just of what they are, but like how they actually work to help us out. They really are our everyday superheroes.
Okay, so let's unpack that. What is a machine, really, at its core? And why did humans start using them, like, thousands of years ago? It's going to be more than just making stuff easier. Yeah, it really is. Fundamentally, a machine is, well, any tool or device that helps us do work more easily,
right,
or faster or safer. It changes the force we need to apply. Think about lifting, I don't know, a really heavy box. It's hard work, right?
Yeah.
But a simple machine, like a lever or a ramp, can make it much, much easier. It's about efficiency. Trading force for distance, maybe?
Exactly. And the benefits are just huge.
Yeah.
Our sources point out a few key things. First, yeah, they make work easier. Less effort needed. Like, imagine trying to cut paper neatly just by hand versus using scissors. Scissors make it smooth. Easy. That's a simple machine right there.
Right. And second, machines save so much time using an electric mixer for batter, way faster than doing it by hand. And third, which is really crucial, they help us do things that are just too heavy or, frankly, too dangerous for us. Think about cranes on construction sites lifting massive beams. That protects people from getting hurt. So true. And it's not just the big industrial stuff, is it? The source actually says your toothbrush, fan, and school bell are all machines that help you every day.
Mm.
So from fans keeping us cool, fridges keeping food fresh, computers in schools, tractors on farms, I mean, they're literally everywhere.
They really are woven into everything we do.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting, I think. Not all machines are the same. Our sources talk about two main kinds, simple machines and complex machines.
Precisely. A simple machine is like the basic building block. It's a tool that makes work easier by changing how we apply force. It doesn't actually decrease the total amount of work, that's physics, but it reduces the force you need at any given moment.
Right. You might push for longer, but it feels easier.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then you have complex machines. These are made by combining two or more simple machines. They all work together.
Like a bicycle. That's a classic example, right? Perfect example. And what's interesting is the contrast. Simple machines, usually few or no moving parts, often hand-powered, easy to use generally. Complex machines, though, they tend to have lots of moving, connected parts, often need power, like fuel or electricity, and sometimes, yeah, they need a bit more know-how to operate.
And here's a great little misconception alert from the sources. Complex machines aren't always these giant industrial things, even something small like a camera or, yeah, that kitchen mixer again. That's complex because it's got lots of different parts working together inside. It's about the combination, not just size.
That's a really important point. Complexity is about the interaction of parts.
So, okay, if complex machines are built from simple ones, what are these fundamental building blocks? The sources lay out six main types of simple machines, super important in our daily lives.
Understanding these six is like learning the basic vocabulary of mechanics. Once you get them, you start seeing them everywhere. Let's break them down.
Okay, first up, the inclined plane. Sounds a bit technical, but you see them all the time.
You really do. It's just a flat surface that's tilted, basically. A ramp. It helps move things between different heights more easily. Common examples. Ramps next to stairs, like at hospitals.
Mm.
Or just a wooden plank to load stuff onto a truck. Even a slide in a park.
And the key thing is how it reduces the force needed to lift something, right?
Yeah.
It trades force for distance.
Exactly. If the slope is gentle, you push or pull over a longer distance, but it takes less effort moment to moment. Steeper slope, shorter distance, but more effort.
Makes sense. Okay, number two. The wedge.
Right, the wedge. Think of it as a moving inclined plane, or maybe two inclined planes back to back. It's usually a triangular tool, maybe metal or wood, sharp at one end, blunt at the other, used for cutting, splitting, or holding things. An axe blade is a wedge, a knife. Even your front teeth act as wedges when you bite into something.
Wow, okay. Teeth too.
Yep. And the principle is the longer and thinner or sharper the wedge, the less effort you need to, say, split wood or cut something.
And the sources mention using a knife for fruit Perfect everyday wedge example. Okay, third, the screw.
Ah, the screw. It's actually a really clever one. It's basically an inclined plane wrapped around a cylinder or cone, that spiral ridge that's called the thread. It allows the screw to move into a material when you turn it. Great for holding things together tightly.
Yeah, this one's kind of cool. The fun flash fact says a screw is just a twisted inclined plane, and they suggest an activity. Take a paper triangle, wrap the slanted side around a pencil, and bam, it looks like a screw thread. Really shows that connection.
It's a great visual, yeah. It converts rotation into linear motion very effectively.
All right, next up, a total game changer for humanity. The wheel and axle.
Oh, absolutely fundamental. It consists of two circular parts, a larger wheel and a smaller rod, the axle, joined at the center so they rotate together. Its main power is reducing friction dramatically, makes moving heavy things possible.
And the sources say the first wheel was over 5,000 years ago, one of the very earliest machines. You see the principle everywhere, doorknobs, car steering wheels, even a screwdriver handle is like the wheel and the shaft is the axle.
That's right. And riding a bike, that relies heavily on wheels and axles to make travel way faster and easier than walking.
Oh, okay, number five, the pulley.
The pulley, usually a wheel with a groove and a rope or cable runs through that groove. Its simplest use is changing the direction of force. So you can pull down on a rope to lift something up, which is often easier. But where pulleys get really powerful is when you combine them. You can create systems that give you a significant mechanical advantage, letting you lift very heavy things with much less force.
Like drawing water from a well.
Yeah.
Or cranes lifting materials on building sites.
Exactly. Or even just the simple pulley system in window blinds. They make lifting tasks much more manageable.
Okay, last one of the simple machines, the lever.
The lever, another foundational one. It's basically a rigid bar that pivots or turns around a fixed point. That pivot point is called the fulcrum. Then you have the lever arm itself, the load, that's what you're moving, and the effort, the force you apply.
So how does that help? How does it reduce effort?
It's all about the placement of the fulcrum, load, and effort. Changing their positions changes how the forces balance out. This leads to three classes of levers. Class one levers have the fulcrum between the load and the effort. Think of a seesaw, or scissors actually, two levers working together, or a bottle opener.
Okay.
And the key here, as the sources note, is if you move the fulcrum closer to the load, you need less effort to lift it. You gain leverage.
Got it. What about class two?
Class two levers have the load between the fulcrum and the effort. A wheelbarrow is a great example, or a nutcracker. With these, the effort is always less than the load.
Ah, okay. And class three?
Class three has the effort between the fulcrum and the load. Things like tweezers or fishing rods or even swinging a hockey stick. These don't actually reduce the force needed. You often apply more force, but they increase the distance or speed the load moves. Good for precision or fast movements.
Wow. Okay. So those are the six building blocks. How do they actually combine then? How do we get from, say, a lever to a washing machine?
Right. That's the magic of complex machines. They are literally just combinations of these simple machines all working together in a coordinated way. They can perform much more complicated tasks than any single simple machine could manage alone. It's all about synergy.
The bicycle example, again, it's got wheels and axles, obviously. Levers and the brakes. Maybe even a pulley-like system in the chain drive.
Exactly. Or think of a car full of levers. Wheels, axles, screws, probably wedges in some engine parts. Or a washing machine with rotating drums, levers in the controls. Cranes use levers, pulleys, wheels, and axles.
Even something simpler like a shovel. Our source mentions that.
Yeah, a shovel is a good basic combo.
Yeah.
The blade edge acts like a wedge to dig in, and the handle acts as a lever to lift the dirt. Or the wheelbarrow example again, levers for lifting the handles, the wheel and axle for moving, screws holding it together, all working to make moving heavy stuff way easier.
The story about Maya finding machines at home kind of sums it up nicely. She sees scissors levers, a broom, another lever, then the wheelbarrow, clearly more complex, and then she spots the washing machine and mixer and realizes, okay, those are definitely complex machines with lots going on inside. It helps you start spotting them yourself.
It does. It trains your eye to see the underlying mechanics.
So wrapping this up a bit,
yeah.
What's the big takeaway for everyone listening? It sounds like machines are just fundamentally helpful, our friends almost.
That's a good way to put it. They make life easier, faster, safer, more productive. They let us do things we simply couldn't do otherwise. From tiny tools in our homes to massive industrial equipment, they're indispensable. And understanding even the basics helps appreciate the ingenuity behind them.
Yeah, and remembering that misconception thing, they're not just for factories. They are deeply, deeply embedded in our everyday lives. Understanding them helps us appreciate, you know, the cleverness in a simple can opener or a bike.
Yep.
So we've really dug into machines today, from why we need them to the six simple types and how they combine into the complex devices all around us.
And hopefully this gives you not just appreciation, but a better sense of how forces and effort work, how we use these principles to our advantage every single day. Maybe it helps you use them more effectively, too.
Definitely. So as you go about your day, maybe take a closer look. Try to spot the lever in the door handle, the screw in your chair, the wheel and axle on a toy car. And maybe chew on this thought straight from our sources. What would happen if all machines just vanished? Would work just take longer? Or would some things become utterly impossible, forcing us to completely change how we live?
That's a big question.
It is. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep using those machines to make life a bit easier.